Hi, Ali here, and welcome back to another episode of Dramatic Dublin. This week, I will be interviewing Ger Gallagher, novelist, playwright, and co-founder of the Dolman Theatre in Cavantilly. I will also be reviewing a play called The Hole by John Sheehy, which ran recently in the Dolman Theatre. And I'll be giving you an update on what's going down in a theatre near you in Dublin. If that's not enough, I'll also be playing some cracking tunes. And next up, we have our interview with Ger Gallagher, novelist, playwright, and co-founder of the Dolman Theatre in Cavantilly. What inspired you to get involved in theatre?
Well, my own play was touring last year. It started out, Weighing In is the name of it, and it began as a lunchtime play in the Mill Theatre studio in Dundrum. And it then went on to the Civic studio in Tallaght. And it was the kind of play that at the time it was shorter, it was smaller than it is now, and it needed a smaller venue to play in. And there aren't that many around Dublin. And it was when it went into the Viking in Clontarf, which is a theatre above Connolly's pub in Clontarf, that I got the idea that something similar on the other side of the city could really work. And myself and my friend Anne Raleigh found the Magic Carpet pub in Cornell's Court. It had a disused space upstairs. And we opened on the 12th of January, the Dolman Theatre.
I see. Now, you kind of answered my next question with your answer to that question. I was going to ask you what made you decide to open a theatre in Cornell's Court. But you really quite answered that quite thoroughly with your answer to the first question.
I did. I think that it's the only studio space around, apart from the Mill Theatre in Dunleary, and there's a lot of small plays touring Dublin and indeed the country that need those small studio spaces to perform in.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, you can't really put on a one-man show or a one-woman show if you're going to be putting it on a huge stage. It just doesn't suit.
No, it doesn't. And also, a play has to evolve, you know. Because of the lack of funding and the usual chestnuts, sometimes a play grows, and I think A Weighing In actually is a good example, whereby it's now longer. There's an extra scene written into it, and all of this evolved as it was touring the smaller venues, and it now is playing. It's touring the country, and it's playing in big venues, and it's filling the bigger auditoriums. But you need that stepping stone of a small studio to showcase a play and let it grow.
That's interesting. Now, Weighing In was your first play to be staged. Did you ever dabble in script writing before?
I did, yeah. Well, I came from the background of novel writing. I wrote three novels. I signed a three-book contract with Poolbeg in 2005. And it was when I finished writing the three books. I've always had an interest in theatre, and I decided that I'd really like to turn my hand to playwriting. And in fact, my first play still hasn't reached the stage yet because it was a more ambitious project. There's four characters in it, so it's more expensive to stage. And I'm hoping with the Dolman that maybe maybe this year or early next year, we might look into producing it.
Did you always have an interest? I know you say you always had an interest in theatre, but did you always have an interest in becoming a playwright, or did this transpire as a result of your novel writing?
I think that I just always loved writing, and it didn't. You know, I moved. The transition was very easy for me. And I think it was just a love of writing I had that, and I suppose combined with theatre, that I did. You know, I didn't kind of consciously think, you know, I want to write a play someday. But I think it must have been somewhere in the back of my mind that I was going to try it at some stage.
Well, judging by the success of Weighing In, then it must be. I believe your second play, Worth, is going into production later this year.
Well, that was my first play.
Oh, so.
That, yeah, and I'm hoping to put that into production. We're hoping to have a reading in a few months, and Caroline Fitzgerald, who directed Weighing In, is interested in directing it, and, you know, maybe if I win the lotto between now and then, we'll get it up and running. The problem with, you know, because there are so many one-man shows and two-handers touring the country is because there isn't room for, you know, it's got to pay wages, you know, so the more actors involved, the more wages that are involved, and that's why it's rare these days to go, unless you're going to the Abbey or the Gate, to see more than two, possibly three people in a play, which is a shame, you know, because you've got to curtail your artistic hopes and dreams and be realistic rather than artistic when you want to stage something.
Speaking of one-man shows, I believe you worked with Pat Kinavan.
Yeah. Actually, while I was waiting, after I wrote Weighing In and I was looking for a director, I decided to adapt it for radio. And RTE broadcast it last January, 12 months, actually. And Pat Kinavan was the diet leader in it, and he was absolutely hilarious. That's the only time I worked with him, and he really brought a great dimension to the radio play.
He's fantastic. I've seen a couple of his shows as a one man, as a solo
he's a
performer.
Real genius.
And did you have any? Did you have any involvement with the Fishamble New Play Company? I know he's quite heavily involved with them.
No, I've never. I haven't had any involvement with Fishamble at all. No, I haven't. I didn't have any involvement in the theatre as such. You know, when I wrote my first play, I didn't know any directors. I didn't know. I knew very few actresses. Although when I was writing Weighing In, I very much had Isabel Mahon in mind. She happens to walk her dog in the same park as I walk, and I remember her from Glenroe. And I just thought that she would definitely make a great Pam. So when I finished writing the script, I stopped her. I doorstepped her one day, asked her if she was still acting, and she said she was. And I gave her the script. So I actually gave Isabel the script before I even gave the director the script. So I had Isabel on board from the get-go, which was great. And then Caroline Fitzgerald had worked with Rose Henderson before, and that's how the two of them came to be cast.
It's always encouraging to find somebody who has already got quite a vast history in theatre to take such an interest in your piece from the get-go.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I was very lucky with the three of them, because, I mean, the three of them have, you know, they've great track records and have done great work. So I was really steeped, you know. Caroline has directed more plays than I've had hot dinners, and she has, you know, just worked with so many people over the years and in so many theatres, mainly the Abbey. So it was great. It was really just all very fortuitous that you know, that I was able to get the three of them on board.
It sounds like it was written in the stars, all right.
It does, doesn't it? And certainly, you know, it's just been a joyful experience. We've just got along so well and really had great laughs. You know, every day at rehearsals was just a great laugh, you know, because you can write a play. There was, when I was writing the play, I actually didn't think it was going to be as funny as it is. And now it's amazing to go and see it and see people, you know, just roaring laughing, because Isabel and Rose brought so much to the script themselves.
Well, obviously there was something to begin with.
Well, that's true. That's true. But they really, they just enhanced it, you know, enormously.
It's always great when you see a play and you feel as if the play was written for the characters.
Yeah.
Or the actors who are playing the characters. Or that the actors are made to play the characters that they're playing.
Yeah, and I really feel like that now. I mean, they really own those roles. I couldn't imagine anybody else doing it, you know. And there's great energy, great comic energy between the two of them on stage.
Yeah, perhaps they'll go on to work together again.
Yes, yep, who knows? Because they never worked together before, and, you know, they're the same age and they've been around the theatre and TV circuit, so it's funny that they hadn't actually worked together.
It sounds like a fantastic show. Do you think it will be staged again in the Dolmen, perhaps?
Well, we had it in the Dolmen as our second show. The Dolmen opened on the 12th of January with Mary Murray's No Smoke Without Fire, which was a huge hit because it's such a great show. Mary Murray is such a huge talent. And Weighing In came in after them at the end of January, and it was great. It was a real high, you know, to have my own play there. And yes, we'll definitely, I think they're scheduled to come back in again in September, so that'll be nice.
That'll definitely be an excuse to go back to the Dolmen again.
Yes, exactly. We've shows running back to back, you know, all the way through. You know, we're programmed right up until the end of July, which is great.
Anne mentioned in an interview that I read that you received a lot of goodwill from the theatrical community. Can you elaborate on where that was most evident?
Oh, well, when we first opened, I mean, when we first had the idea, it was daunting. You know, there was just so much to do, and the space was just completely bare. And just lots of, well, the Viking Theatre in Clontarf were so kind to us and, you know, very supportive, very generous, their time and advice. Barry Donaldson from the Mill Theatre, Chris Mooney were so kind as well. They came down and they helped set up the place and, you know, gave us great advice. And in fact, those two guys were working till 9:30 on New Year's Eve. Just very, I must say that because Dublin isn't very big and the theatrical community is quite close-knit, that word goes out and everybody, you know, lends a hand. We got phone calls from people saying, look, you know, I've lights here and if you want to borrow them. And so it was really, really good. It was great. And even for, you know, the shows that are coming into us, you know, we're so grateful to have shows of that calibre coming over to us. It's brilliant.
Yeah, I was in to see The Hole on Friday just gone, which was a wonderful piece. I really, really enjoyed it.
It really is. It's a real storming performance from Bren Barnett. He's a great actor, and John Sheehy's writing is I think it's really exceptional. He's a lovely writer. He did have a huge success with Fred and Alice a few years ago, and The Hole is it's just a great play. I must say we're all really enjoying it, and it's that runs until Saturday, and we're closed on Good Friday because it's a licensed premises, but it's really well worth seeing. It's a great show.
I was trying to explain to people what it was about. You know, it's about people digging a hole.
Well, it's a difficult one. It's a difficult one to describe. I think the hole is a metaphor for his desire for solitude, and I think it really touches on that issue that men don't talk, men don't share their feelings, you know, and kind of have strange ways of kind of disappearing into themselves. And I think that show really touches on that.
I mean, I'm sure there's been so many men. You mentioned no man is like, well, I am.
Yeah.
I think the character played by Bren was very much that man. We've seen it 100 times.
Absolutely, and I know a lot of people leaving the theatre, you can hear them saying, you know, John so-and-so was just like him, or we all know somebody that is like him, that kind of insular loner, at the same time, not completely an island.
He likes to think of himself as not needing anybody, and it isn't until somebody reaches out to him that he realises that, well, actually,
yeah,
company is nice.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, it's really very interesting, and it's the kind of play that you think about a lot afterwards, which I like.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not even just his portrayal, it's his physicality throughout the whole piece. It's very...
Yeah, there's a fantastic storm scene, and his miming is really amazing.
It's brilliant. He really creates the idea of it with... He doesn't need any. He doesn't have any set really, as such, aside from the image behind him on stage. Mm. He doesn't need it though.
No, because then you end up down that hole with him. I feel it's it is. It's great. Very atmospheric piece.
Yeah, I have to say the storm scene was my favourite part of the whole show.
Yeah, it is great, and I love the lighting as well.
Yes, it was very good. I actually am not sure who was responsible for the lighting. Who did the lighting design?
The lighting design, let me see, I'm not too sure. I think that actually John Sheehy might have done it. The writer, he had something to do with it, but I'm not 100% sure about that. But I think it looks great.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And that's really exactly what you want from a lighting design.
Yeah.
No, it was a really lovely piece, and I would definitely recommend to anybody who gets the chance to get in there before Saturday to do so.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we've got three other shows coming up, which again are all what we're trying to do is provide us, you know, diverse pieces that will, you know, we're trying to find our audience, you know, so we're just trying to put on as many different pieces as possible. Next week we've got Katie O'Kelly's Counterculture, which is a comedy, and Katie O'Kelly is, you know, she's another huge talent. So she's going to bring two shows in 2 weeks. She's doing Counterculture starting next Monday, Bank Holiday Monday, for a week. And then the following week, Monday, the April 13th, she's bringing Joist. So it's two different shows with Katie in both of them.
Can you give us a little bit about each one, just to kind of give the audience an idea of what might be in store for them?
Counterculture is a comedy set in a department store called Mackin's, and Katie plays several of the employees who have been given 0-hour contracts and huge demands on their hours, basically treated unfairly. And it's a comedy about how the staff handle it. And then Joist takes us on it's an exciting journey that looks at the people and the events which would later feature in Ulysses. So she was voted as the one to watch in Edinburgh when she took it there 2 years ago, and has been travelling, touring the country with it since. It's been a huge hit.
Well, we're all big fans of Ulysses in this country, of course. And, of course,
exactly,
all over the world, but particularly here.
So it's a comic take on the characters in Ulysses.
Yeah.
And then after that we have George Bernard Shaw, a play called, one of his lesser known plays called Village Wooing. That starts on Monday the 20th of April. That'll run for 2 weeks. That's directed by Michael James Ford.
Certainly a diverse selection of pieces.
Yeah, something for everyone.
And, it seems to have been a roaring success, the theatre itself. What kind of demographics make up your audiences?
We're still trying to find that, because we've only been open since January. We've had young groups in, we've had active retirement groups in, we've had you know, just middle-aged people. We haven't, you know, it's when you look at an audience, bar weighing in, that was 99.9% female between the ages of 30 and 60. That's the only definite demographic I could give you. But other than that, we're still kind of finding our audience. We also had a Beckett piece in a few weeks ago as well, so that was different. And we found that you know, a lot of people were travelling to see that, you know, coming out from town.
Yeah, well, I suppose it's just a case of trial and error to really find who you need to be targeting in your audience.
Exactly, yeah. And then we've had people come to, you know, shows like The Hole, you know, that they had no idea what it's going to be like. I must say that everybody that has come to see The Hole absolutely loved it. And kind of saying, oh, I'm glad I tried that. You know, I didn't know what it was going to be like because it's a new play. So, you know, it only has had its first, it's only staged first this year, only a few weeks ago in Bewley's. So it's nice to see people maybe push themselves a bit and come and you know, with an open mind, see something that they don't know anything about.
Well, really, I think one should approach all forms of theatre with an open mind. I think that's probably for the best. And what are your hopes for the future of the Dolmen?
Well, we hope that it'll be there, you know, in years to come, and that it will become, you know, part of the community, that people will have their Dolmen night, you know, because the Viking has become very much like that in Clontarf. You know, you get the same groups going on a Wednesday evening or whatever. So I'm just hoping that we get the support of the community and the wider community, and that it will have a name for putting on good quality professional theatre.
But it looks, if it continues as it has been going on so far, then I'm sure that's not going to be a problem at all.
Well, I hope you're right. Thank you very much.
Well, I really hope it realises your dreams. And I tend to be a returning customer.
That's great. Well, thank you, Alison.
No problem at all. It's fantastic to have something so local.
Yeah, it is. And it's, you know, just parking, and it's good, you know, €12 a ticket, so it's not going to break the bank.
I think that's really what an issue that a lot of people have, is they expect theatre, oh, it's going to be so expensive, it's going to be between 30 and €50. But there are the smaller productions, and their tickets
and
are
reasonable.
And
I think these days as well, it's a real plus to have, you know, free parking beside any venue.
Absolutely. I mean, we've robbed blind for your parking in so many areas. If you can find it, that is.
Exactly.
No, that's certainly a plus on your side.
It is.
Listen, thank you very much, Jer. I really appreciate you taking the time for this interview.
Well, thank you very much. And we hope to see you again out in the Dolmen.
I'm sure you will. Hopefully sooner rather than later. Thanks again.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And that was Beck with Loser. We've reached that part of the show where I tell you what's going on in the theatres of Dublin over the next few weeks. Coming up in the Project Arts Centre, we have Little Thing, Big Thing, which is being presented by the Fishamble New Play Company. Little Thing, Big Thing will run from the 5th of May to the 16th of May at 8:15 p.m. With previews on the 5th of May, tickets are €14 for that. After that, tickets are €18 or €16 concession. But if you book on the 7th of May, you can get two full price tickets for €24. And if you book before the 23rd of April, you get the early bird price, which is 25% off. Little Thing, Big Thing is a darkly comic suspense thriller full of intrigue, betrayal and compassion. In Nigeria, a frightened child puts an old roll of film into the hands of Sister Martha, a Dublin-bound teacher, attracting the interest of some very powerful and ambitious people. Sounds intriguing. Also in the project, The Girl Who Believed in Magic continues to run until the 11th of April. For anyone who didn't catch last week's show, as a little girl, Julie presented magic shows in her living room, complete with admission price, an assistant, homemade cardboard box sign, and an invited audience. As an adult, composer, songsmith, and performer, she continues to inhabit magic in the everyday. Coming up in the new theatre, The Passengers, which is being run by the Polish Polish Theatre Ireland, from April 6th to April 18th. Preview on Monday the 6th, opening the 7th of April at 7:30 p.m. Tickets are €15 or €12 concession, and it's co-written by Anna Wolfe and Rory O'Sullivan. Inspired by true stories from different parts of the world, Polish Theatre Ireland's new play, The Passengers, offers the whisper of that voice that is lost in the movement of a crowd. Moving beyond disillusionment to the most natural, universal levels of the human condition and all its absurdities, it grafts the dreams that surround their self-exile and the things we wish we had, the things we wish for as we strive to find a home, identity, and fleeting visions of comfort and belonging. In the Civic Theatre, we have The Wizard of Oz, which is running on Saturday, the 11th of April, at 2:30, 5:30 and 8:30 p.m. The Wizard of Oz sees tots and teens from Tanya Michelle's School of Dances classes in Clondalkin, Selbridge, Ballyfermot and Rathcoole come together to perform a feast of ballet and modern theatre dance based on the much-loved Hollywood classic. Also on in the Civic Theatre, What Would Ma Say?, which will run from Monday the 13th to Saturday the 18th of April at 8 p.m. What Would Ma Say? Is a hilarious play based on the bestseller of the same name. Kathleen Doyle introduces us to her remarkable family and their exploits growing up in Dublin in the 1950s and 1960s. Kathleen describes Ma as an ordinary woman with very little education behind her, but maybe not so ordinary in the way she learned to survive and handle life. In the Dolman Theatre, we have Counterculture, which will run from April 6th to April the 11th. Welcome to the world of fashion retail, filled with fake smiles, sales targets, and bunions where the customers is always right. 4 shop employees, 1 day on the shop floor. A day so jam-packed, it is bursting at the seams. And the workers feel as disposable as the clothes they sell. A whirlwind solo show by Stage UK Best Solo Performer nominee in the Edinburgh Fringe Festival 2012. Also on in the Dolman, Joist, which will run from April 13th to April 18th. Joist takes us on a tour de force of Joycean Dublin, steering the audience through the year in which Joyce would later make famous in Ulysses. Steering the audience through the year which Joyce would later make famous in Ulysses. The show looks back at 1904 through the eyes of Jojo, a stallholder in Dublin's Rathmines Market. With a dangerous obsession for all things Joycean, Jojo careers like a person possessed through the full gamut of 1904 James Joyce.
This week I'll be reviewing The Hole, which recently showed in the Dolman Theatre in Cabinteely.
The Hole is a one-man show that tells the story of a man who finds himself involved in a digging project he doesn't understand and has no real idea how he got there. It is a story about a group of men digging a hole, but dig beneath the surface, if you'll forgive the pun, and what you have is a story of a man who has lived isolated from everybody around him his entire life. He lays waste to the theory that no man is an island. He is. He speaks to no one, engages with no one. That is, until he finds himself drawn into the friendship of a family that moves into the house across from him. They begin to erode the cracks into his cynical exterior, though he maintains that he is still a cynical bastard. Life continues in this manner until one dreadful day Elsie and her mother are killed in a car accident and the man finds himself bereft in their absence. He waits until all the friendly neighbours are gone, then calls over to the father and husband of the family. They drink Jack Daniels for days until he wakes up
and the neighbour is gone. He looks outside and sees that he is in the garden digging. Seemingly left with no choice, he goes and gets a spade. What follows is a tale of two tenacious men, joined by Neely the local drunk, as they dig endlessly in an attempt to forget their problems. Bren Barnett takes the audience on an emotional roller coaster as he navigates John Sheehy's play, which is poignant in some moments and hilarious in others. A fascinating play, staged in the Dolmen, which is a new theatre over the Magic Carpet pub in Cavantilly. The Dolmen is a small theatre with a welcoming atmosphere, and if they continue to run shows like The Hole, I'm sure it will continue to thrive. And that's all we have time for today. I'm going to leave you with a little bit of music. Next up, we have A Message to You, Rudy, by The Specials. Bye!